podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Positively Pro-Life aims to bring you inspirational stories, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm Bonnie Finnerty, Education Director at the Federation, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Maria Gallagher, the Legislative Director. Hello, Maria.
Hello, Bonnie. It's so good to be with you today.
Oh, and it's so good to be with you. We have an information-packed podcast today. I am so excited to introduce our listeners to a very special and critically important program that functions as a real lifeline to people in need. Today, we'll talk to the leaders of Real Alternatives and learn how they provide authentic help to women and their children. And we are pleased that CEO Kevin Bogata and Vice President of Operations Tom Lang are here to tell us all about their life-affirming work. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce our guests, and today we have two. Kevin Bogata, Esquire, is the President and Founding CEO of Real Alternatives and was charged over 25 years ago with creating and starting the Pennsylvania Alternatives to Abortion Program under Governor Casey, back in 1995. Tom Lang, Esquire, is the Vice President of Operations for Real Alternatives and is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the Pennsylvania as well as Indiana Pregnancy and Parenting Support Services Program. He's been with Real Alternatives for over 15 years. Welcome, Tom and Kevin.
Thanks so much.
All right, so the first question is, what is the mission of Real Alternatives and how did it come about?
So I'll field that question. It starts, believe it or not, with a study done in the late 80s by Dr. Reardon of the Elliott Institute. And he had surveyed women who had had an abortion. So, you know, this is over 10 years past Roe v. Wade. Abortions are going through the roof. And Dr. Reardon wants to know why. And the survey suggests that about 83% of the women said that they would not have had the abortion if one person would have helped them. I mean, think about that for a second. No family member, forget the boyfriend. They are alone in an unexpected crisis. And in a nutshell, that study, the pro-life movement in Pennsylvania took that study and said, hey, it was the Pro-Life Federation as well as Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. They said, we have these Catholic charities and maternity homes and pregnancy support centers throughout the Commonwealth. Let's fund them so they can do more work and reach more women in that unexpected pregnancy. So the purpose of the program is to provide that one person. And Real Alternatives uses grant money from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and works with the Catholic charities, maternity homes, adoption agencies, and the pregnancy support centers throughout the Commonwealth to provide that one person from the moment of conception through 12 months after birth. And in the end, that's what the program's about. But the vision is that taxpayers are involved in this program. It's the Commonwealth citizens who have decided we are going to help women in need. We are going to help women in unexpected pregnancies. We're going to do what we can through this program to help you so you don't have to choose an abortion. And we were the first of its kind. The Keystone State, once again, being a Keystone, was the first of its kind to fund pregnancy support services so women did not have to have an abortion.
Now, how many clients has Real Alternatives served since its inception? And what are some of the services provided?
Marie, I'll take that one. You know, since 1996, the Pennsylvania Pregnancy and Parenting Support Services Program that we administer at Real Alternatives has served almost 332,000 clients at over 1.7 and a half million visits. And you got to remember that that client's served figure doesn't even include the babies. So it's a lot higher than that. And those wonderful 240 plus counselors across the state, they provide this wonderful free, confidential, and caring pregnancy support and parenting education for women who come to them for information and for help. And the core services, though, are the counseling and the referrals to other available community services that the counselors provide to the women. Free self-administered pregnancy tests are also available at every one of the 80 plus sites across the Commonwealth. And in addition, the women often receive helpful items like diapers and wipes and baby furniture and clothing to help lessen their burden. A big plus about the program, though, that I want to mention is that the counselors can offer them to the women, all those services to the women, from the first time they come in up until the baby's first birthday. So often these new moms are very young and they don't have the safety net of supportive family and friends that many of us enjoy. And so these counselors and the service they provide are invaluable to them. They really treat them as their own daughters, and they help them to become the wonderful mothers and self-sufficient members of society who we know often then no longer require government assistance. You guys would be amazed at the number of women who then go into nursing or related fields, and so many of them return to volunteer at our centers to help others who are facing challenges like they faced way back when.
That's incredible work. It's like a ripple effect. You're giving these women the tools and the support they need through the crisis, and then they turn around and are able to do it for someone else. That's right. Beautiful.
The true way that the government should work, right?
Absolutely. Now, you do site visits to pregnancy resource centers to make sure they're in compliance with your program. Can you tell our listeners what you look for and expect in a pregnancy resource center?
Well, I'll jump in there also, since this is kind of my area. But before we even get to the issue of compliance, we need to talk about the extensive process that the nonprofit organizations go through to even try to become eligible participants in the program. So we go in and we review every aspect of the organization's existing business. And I say existing, that's very important, because we don't sign contracts with newly formed groups who just think they want to try to participate. They have to be established with the board of directors, bylaws, articles of incorporation, and have well-organized and implemented policies and procedures. So we go ahead and we review all of that, and we conduct a site visit to make sure that the site is okay before we even consider offering them a contract. You know, they train their own counselors on how to do the counseling work, but a large number of them already have degrees in social work or related fields. We train the counselors on how to properly participate in the Pennsylvania program. And it's then that we do the site monitorings, or what I actually prefer to call the contract compliance inspections, on an annual basis, so that we ensure that everything is being handled appropriately in keeping with the contract that we have with the organizations. And it's a very extensive monitoring to ensure that, you know, all of the required client and their billing forms have been handled correctly, that everything's been handled in a confidential manner, and that the physical space that they're operating in is appropriate for this kind of work that they do with their clients. And we obtain from the clients, I'm going to tell you this, client success stories. We want to help them point out the human side of how they help all of the women that they serve. And all of that that I just talked about ends up in the reports that we send to the Department of Human Services as part of our quarterly reports throughout the year.
You just recently celebrated 25 years, and I am sure you have many stories. Can you share how Real Alternatives has made a difference in real people's lives?
Yeah, there literally are hundreds of thousands of stories. Tom and I could take up 8 hours of programming just sharing the stories that are relayed to us. Two stand out for me, and they're real quick, and then I'll let Tom fill in on his favorite story, which I pretty much know what it is, and rightfully so. So when I started early on, one of the first site monitorings that I had done was in Darby, Pennsylvania at Mother's Home. It's a former convent. They took a former convent, the beautiful convent, and they made it a maternity home. And if your listeners have never been in those older convents, the wood, it's such a beautiful structure. The rooms are beautiful. Everything, it's just beautiful on the inside. And now that home that housed nuns are housing women in unexpected pregnancies. So the whole idea of being there is pretty awesome. Talk about repurposing, you know, for a good cause, right? So as I'm doing the inspection, I pass this one room, and in this beautiful mahogany wood framed doorway, I see a young woman working on a computer, taking a class, and next to her is her baby, and you know, in a nice child care carrier. And I just for a second immediately realized that's an alternative to abortion. Here's this woman in a safe, warm, comfortable environment, bettering herself to take care of her and her baby with the baby at her feet. And I said, that's an alternative to abortion. That's what we're about. That's what the program's about. That's what goes on in all our centers to help this woman choose childbirth rather than abortion. But not only that, to be with her with wraparound services so she is empowered to take care of herself and her baby. And I'll never forget that. And it stays with me these last 25 years that that's what this is about. That's what all the work we do. And if the citizens of the Commonwealth could have, I wish iPhones were not there, but believe it or not, 25 years ago, I wish I had taken a photo because it's in my mind perfectly that that's what this is all about. It's never really left me, and I've shared that story, and it's quite motivating. You know, the other story, just real quick, because Tom touched upon it in the site monitorings, the idea that these women who have been helped by this citizens funded program, how they are so indebted that they come back to help. We had this one, you know, we'll provide through donations at the maternity home or the pregnancy support center or the Catholic Charities cribs. And this one client received a crib. It was very clean, nice, you know, but she decided she was gonna redo it, restain it. And she returned that crib that was given to her for her baby and made it sparkling new. And it was her way of paying forward the help she had received. And, you know, it those stories just happen all the time. Over the last 25 years, this program really is an example of Americans at their best. And Tom, go ahead and jump in there. I know you have one or two.
I'm even going to wow you, Kevin, with a more recent story that's now struck me as might be my new favorite. But like Kevin said, there's just thousands of these stories. I'm blessed because, like I talked about the site monitorings, that our staff who does the site monitorings has to submit them to me. So I'm blessed to be able to review all of these stories. So I get to see and read all of them. But recently we had one that a young woman, by her own decision, calls one of our centers, schedules an appointment. She ends up showing up 3 hours before the scheduled time for the visit. So the counselor already knew something was up. But when she got there, she told the counselor that she just wanted to see her in person, just to tell her that she was going to have an abortion, just because of how kind the counselor was to her on the phone. And so the counselor's antenna is going up, wondering what this is about. And so she starts and tells her that unfortunately she had a previous abortion, but things are worse now. She now is fearful of her abusive husband to the point where she had to get a protection from abuse order against him and move out of the county that they were living in. She was so afraid of him. And she told the counselor that she really, really never got over the physical or mental pain of that first abortion. But she again felt she had no other option at this time. She, you know, had the pregnancy and the husband was after her, so she thought abortion was the only way she could go. And she didn't want to have to choose between her baby or her safety. And as the counselor's talking with her, she began crying very, very hard. And now it came out, and she expressed to the counselor that she really wanted help from her because she didn't know what else to do. She was all alone. She just needed someone to tell her that everything was going to be okay. And so that counselor became that person for her to walk with her and hold her hand and comfort her and teach her and educate her about the pregnancy and what would be happening. And after discussing everything with the counselor, the young woman ended up actually moving into their site that very day. Then an extended 5-year protection from abuse order eased her anxiety even more. She began to really enjoy the positive social interaction with the other women who were also there. She later found a full-time job in customer service. And the counselor then helped obtain domestic violence counseling for her. And the woman just then exploded with self-confidence. And shortly after beginning to live independently, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. And that new mom to this day continues to stay in touch with her counselor and recently excitedly reported that she's making arrangements to go to school to be a social worker herself. So just my newest favorite, but like Kevin said, there's tons of them. And I love that story. Wonderful people.
That's incredible and so inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, these women are doing more than having a baby. I mean, you're helping them to do more than have a baby. You're equipping them for a better life, for healthier relationships, for better jobs, for education. I mean, there's so much more here at stake, and it's
and to be better citizens in our state. You know, it's important from that aspect too, that we're helping them to become better citizens and help other people.
Yeah, they're giving back.
Yeah. So our motto at Real Alternatives is we're empowering women for life, for living a life and to having a life. And that's what our goals are. And that's the only purpose that we have.
All right. I think we only have a short time. Maria, do you want to follow up with a question?
Sure. How can people support your efforts to help women and children?
Well, first of all, pray for our clients and pray for our counselors. There's a lot of tragic situations that these young women are in. And again, they're alone. And I say this to people, you know, think of a crisis that you've experienced in your life. If you think about it, there was always somebody from the outside help that helped you. In fact, they define the word hope as the desire that some outside force will change the circumstances you find yourself in that you can't change. So please pray for the clients and the counselors. We have grown this program outside of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with donations. We do not use taxpayer dollars for it. And so we certainly can use financial support. We have helped 15 other states start citizens-funded alternatives to abortion programs throughout the country. That leaves us with 35 states left to go. So if any of your listeners want to support us that way, we certainly put it to good use and grow the program. And again, follow the Keystone States lead.
That's remarkable. Kevin Bagata and Tom Lang of Real Alternatives, you're doing miraculous work, and we want to thank you for that. And thank you for your dedication all of these years to those pregnant women and their babies and their families. And you've made many a happy ending through your work. And we are very gratified by that. And we applaud you for all of your efforts.
Thanks, Maria. And trust me, I know I speak for Tom. We're privileged to do this as a job. It really is uplifting.
Absolutely.
Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with more than 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals, from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. Thanks for joining us. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.